All right, Acts. We'll begin with chapter 21 for the moment. Acts 21. Now, these religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, had talked the Romans into arresting the Apostle Paul. They wanted him imprisoned, they wanted him killed. It says in verse 27 of Acts 21, "And when the 7 days were ended, the Jews, which were of Asia, when they saw Paul in the temple, they stirred up the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against Israel.'" That wasn't so. Paul didn't teach people against the people of Israel. He said, "I am an Israelite. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, born of the tribe of Benjamin." And then their second charge was this: "He teaches men everywhere against the law." Paul, like our Lord Jesus, said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but that the law be fulfilled. By grace, the law is fulfilled." He didn't teach it. And he teaches against this place. Where was he? He was in the temple. And they were bringing the charge against him that he was teaching against Israel, against the law, and against the people. And further, brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted the temple. They might have had reference to Timothy or Titus. And then on down here in verse 40 of Acts 21, they arrested Paul. The captain of the guard was in charge. And so Paul said in verse 39 of Acts 21, Paul said, "I'm a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. And I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Let me defend myself." So the captain of the guards, the chief captain of the Roman soldiers, verse 40, he gave him license to speak. "And Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying," verse 1, chapter 22, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when these Jews heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, 'I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus.'" Here's his first word. He tells them before he came to know Christ, before he came to know the gospel of God's grace in Christ, he was a very, very religious person. And these are his religious credentials. He said, "I'm a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, and brought up in that city, in this city, at the feet of Gamaliel." Gamaliel, there were two great facilities or places of education among the Jews. Gamaliel was one, and there was another one. But Gamaliel was the most famous teacher of the Jewish law. And Paul said, "I'm a Jew, and I was educated in the highest and best circles among Jewish people." And then he said, "I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law, the ceremonial law, the moral law." He was a Pharisee. He held one of the highest offices you could hold in the Jewish religion, except high priest. He was never a high priest, but he held Pharisee, member of the Sanhedrin. "I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law. I was zealous toward God." Now watch this next line. "As you all are this day." He's speaking to these people to accusing him of being against Israel and against the law and against the temple. He said, I was brought up just like you were. And I was zealous towards God just like you are this day. I was zealous towards the law, the traditions of my nation, the Sabbath day, the tithe, the circumcision, all of these things. In fact, over in Romans chapter 10, he deals with that again. In Romans chapter 10, he said, talking about the people of Israel, and talking about himself. He said in Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved, might come to know the true God through Christ the Savior, might come to know and love the Messiah. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is not that they be put down or destroyed, but that come to know God. I bear them record, verse 2. They have a zeal of God. I was zealous toward God as you are this day. I know where you are because that's where I was too, he said. But not according to knowledge. Your zeal towards God is not according to a knowledge of God or even a knowledge of his word. We might say that to this generation. This is a religious generation like that one. Zealous toward God. Enthusiastic toward God. And here's the problem, verse 3. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, God's holiness, and the righteousness not only of God himself, but the righteousness which he has provided through Christ for sinners. And what they're doing is going about to establish their own righteousness. That's what these people were doing, and that's what Paul was doing before he met Christ. Going about to establish his own righteousness, his own holiness, his own morality, to find acceptance with God by law and duties and deeds. And look at the next line. And they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have not, they will not, they would not submit themselves to the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. But look at verse 4. For Christ Jesus, Christ our Redeemer, Christ our Messiah, is the end of the law. What does that mean, the end of the law? Well, it means this, he's the goal of the law. Paul said to the Galatian church, he said, we were kept under the law as a schoolmaster to teach us, to bring us to Christ. That was the purpose of the law. The law wasn't given to Israel to save them, because they were, when Moses brought that law down from the Mount Sinai, they were at that time worshiping a golden calf, dancing around a pagan idol. The law which God gave to Moses on Sinai couldn't save a people who at that time were worshiping another god. The law was given to bring them to Christ who can save. Christ is the goal of the law. He's the end of the law. He's the consummation of the law as a covenant. Do this and live. Can't be. I can't do it. Well, believe this and live. Oh, that's different. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus delivers me from the law of sin and death. He's the goal of the law. He's the consummation of the law. He is the end of the law for righteousness. To whom? Listen. To everyone that believeth. So he said, men and brethren, I know where you are. I'm a Jew. I was brought up in the traditions of the elders. I defended these positions and these traditions and all these laws. I was zealous toward God, just as you are this day, in ignorance. I did it ignorantly. He said, I obtained mercy. I did it ignorantly. I did it in unbelief. I did it not knowing what I was doing. Not knowing what I was doing. But men and brethren, now turn down back to my text. Verse 4. I'm a religious. I brought up a religious man before I met Christ. Steeped in religious. Zealous in religion. Moral. And I persecuted. Verse 4. Acts 22. I persecuted this way unto death. What's he talking about this way? Well, that word is used over and over again in the book of Acts, signifying the way of Christ, the way of grace, the way of faith, the way of redemption. Let me just quote a scripture. In Acts 3, it says, "And Saul of Tarsus," in Acts 8, verse 3, "And Saul of Tarsus made havoc of the church." Just made havoc of the church of Jesus Christ. "Entering every house, putting men and women who believed in Christ in prison. And Saul went to the high priest and desired letters to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that he might bring them, men or women, bound into prison." This way. "I persecuted this way unto death." And the religious people of our day persecute this way. Brother Pastor, how would you define this way as opposed to Paul's way? Paul was religious, zealous toward God, enthusiastic toward God, the law, religion, organization, ceremonies. How would you describe this way in relation to Paul's way? Well, this way, Christ's way, is the way of free grace. The way of free grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. Paul's way is the way of law and duties and deeds. This way is the way of faith. Faith in Christ as our atonement, as our righteousness, as our hope. Saul's way is the way of works and rewards. This way is the way of Christ's righteousness. He is the second Adam in perfect obedience and holiness, perfected for us before God, a holiness, a righteousness with which God can be well pleased. That's this way. Saul's way is the way of human merit and human deeds and human morality. This way is the way of the Lamb. This way is the way of the Passover. This way is the way of the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. This way is the way that God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's this way. Saul's way is the way that they pleaded judgment. "Lord, we preached in your name, cast out devils in your name. We did many wonderful works in your name." That's our plea. That's our hope. That's our trust. That's our foundation, what we did. But this way is what he did. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in answering Thomas' question in John 14, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Thomas said, "Lord, we know not where you go. How can we know the way?" He said, "Thomas, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's the way. And that's the way Saul of Tarsus hated and persecuted and did all he could against it. Christ said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." He's passed from death unto life. That's the way. That's Christ's way. That's God's way. This is the record. This is it. Write it down. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And Saul said to these people, "I'm religious, just like you are, zealous after the traditions and legalism and laws of my father. And I persecuted this way." And that's what's happening today. Men and women today, in all forms and names of religion today, are just of the same mindset. Now listen to them, same mindset. I believe in God, but not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's a God. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. But I don't believe that He's the God and Father of only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though the Scripture says that, but I don't believe that. I worship God. I'll go to church, and I worship God, but not this way. Not in the Son, through the Son, by the Son, for the glory of the Son. I will not do it that way. Now, I worship God, Muslims, Mohammeds, Confucius, whoever they are, Seventh-day Adventists, you name it. I worship God, but not through the Son. He cannot be my Lord. He cannot be my only Savior. He cannot be my substitute, my high priest, my intercessor, my advocate. I will not have it. I'll speak for myself. I'll take forgiveness. I'll even profess to be saved, but not by His blood and not by His righteousness. That's what Paul's saying. I was religious, zealous toward God as you are this day. Yet that way was not my way. Christ said, I am the way, but that's not my way. I'll go to heaven when I die, just like everybody else. But not that way. Not the way of the cross. Not the way of the blood. Not the way of the mercy seat. Not the way of the communion of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling this whole generation this fact. You and Jesus Christ are on a collision course. I mean a real collision course. Because He said, I am the way, and you say He's not. God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name, which is in heaven, earth, under the earth, and all tongues that shall confess and all knees will bow to Him. He has the preeminence. You say, no, He doesn't. That's a collision course. And you're going to lose. That's just fact. And Saul had to be brought to know that. All right, let's read on. Chapter 22. And the high priest also beareth me witness, and the state of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass. I love that statement. It came to pass. And brethren, it will. Everything that's recorded in this word, it'll come to pass in due time. All that our Lord decrees and all that our Lord purposes and all that our Lord declares, it will come to pass. He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I'll do all my pleasure. It came to pass. This is good news for him. Listen, that as I made my journey, he was on his journey. A man's heart deviseth his ways, but God ordains his steps. As I came near to Damascus about noon, suddenly, there was shown from heaven a great light round about me. You know, the two things that a blind man has to have to see. Number one, he's got to have eyes. But eyes are not worth much without light. You've got to have both. You've got to have eyes and you've got to have light. And what's happening here is described over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What's happening to Saul of Tarsus is what he described over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And Saul of Tarsus was certainly one of those people. in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. He can blind it with religion as well as anything else. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge. There's got to be a light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And Saul of Tarsus said, suddenly. That was sudden to him. He's 40 years old, 45 years old. He'd been rambling down the road of his own choosing all these years. And suddenly, it's sudden to him, but wasn't sudden to God. God planned this time from all eternity. God knew him before the foundation of the world. God marked every step he took those 45 years after he came from his mother's womb. Wasn't sudden with God. God declares the end from the beginning. It's sudden to Paul. It'd be sudden to you. It'd be sudden to you. I never knew that before. That's right. You sure didn't. You had eyes but no light. That's right. You had eyes but no light. Saul is one of God's sheep. You believe that? I know that. He said, God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace, was pleased suddenly to reveal his son in me. 40 years old, steeped in religion, ceremony, total ignorance, unbelief. He wasn't seeking the Lord. He didn't come to that situation there at that particular time and place to be changed. He couldn't change himself. He had no thought of change. He liked what he was. Satisfied with what he was. Proud of what he was. No good. Persecutor of God. A hateful religious man. But God was seeking him. He wasn't seeking God. And suddenly, in God's time, in due time, out of the ordinary, a light from heaven. What is that light? It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. It's the Word of God. It's the voice of God. That's right. What happened? Look over here. And suddenly, there shined about me from heaven. That's where the Word comes from. He speaks from heaven. A great light round about me. What happened? I fell to the ground. And you will. He did, and he will. Everyone who meets God, who has an encounter with God, is not going to do it standing up. Everybody who has any kind of encounter with God always falls to the ground. Job fell to the ground and worshiped God. John on the Isle of Patmos heard his voice and fell as a dead man. Mary sat at his feet. The leper, when Christ came down from the mountain, the leper fell at his feet. The Lord God will bring a man down before he exalts him. That's just right. The Lord God will slay a man before he says to him, live. He's going to be down. The Lord God will strip a man before he clothes him in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God saves them that are of a broken heart. Broken in a contrite spirit. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Six things God hates. Six things God Almighty hates with a passion. Yea, seven are abomination to him. The first one named is a proud look. And that's what this fellow was on that white horse headed for Damascus. A proud, arrogant, self-centered, self-righteous Pharisee. And the light shone, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the voice of God. And he fell to the ground. I fell to the ground. That always precedes rising. You can't rise if you've never been down. You can't be lifted if you haven't fallen. I fell to the ground. And I heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is the one who spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where are you? This is the same one. This is the one whose voice Adam heard and hid himself. This is the one who appeared to Abraham. Abraham, touch not the lad. I know you love me. Abraham saw my day and he was so glad. This is the one who appeared to Moses at the burning bush. Take off your shoes. I am. This is the one who appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth. Now, brethren, if any verse of Scripture in the Bible ought to reveal to my generation the God with whom we have to do, it's this one right here. A voice, a light from heaven, such a light that the sun had to take a back seat. This was noon. Did you know that? Noon. In the deserts of Damascus. And the light from heaven far outshone the sun. A great light from heaven. Yeah, but heaven's got a light, the sun. Greater than that, Jesus of Nazareth. The Son who comes with healing in his wings. The Son of God. The well-beloved. I'm sorry. There's one advocate between God and men. That's the man Christ Jesus. I'm not sorry. I'm sorry you don't see it. People today don't see it. I'm not sorry. I'm glad. God help us if we didn't have him. There's one mediator. Who art thou? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Tell it to the world. But I don't believe in Jesus of Nazareth. Then you forget God. I mean, wipe it out, brother. Forget God. There ain't no God for you. Jesus Christ is God. He's the only revelation of God a man will ever see. That's right. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man has seen God at any time. The Son reveals him. Jesus of Nazareth. That's who I am. That's who I am. What about all those people around him? Verse 9. And they that were with me saw the light, and they scared them to death. Well, what happened to them? They didn't hear the voice. People today see a whole lot of light. You can't live on this earth and not believe there's a God unless you're stupid. Heavens declare the glory of God, but the heavens do not declare the grace of God. Creation. You can look at creation and see the light. Unless you hear him speak, who speaks through his word, you can't know the will of salvation, the way of salvation. That's only revealed through the word, through Christ, through the person and work of Christ. They saw the light, and they were afraid, scared to death. But they never heard the voice that spake to me. And that happens in congregations. This is a large congregation, well taught in the Word through a lot of years, and most everybody here is redeemed and knows God. But there's a difference in seeing the light of nature, conscience, and law, and hearing his voice who speaks to Christ. That's revelation. They didn't hear the voice. Consequently, they never met the person. They didn't hear the gospel. Consequently, they never met the Savior. They saw a whole lot of things that God had done and is doing and will do, but they never saw what he did on the cross. That comes with the gospel. And I said, Lord, what shall I do? Verse 10, what shall I do? And the Lord said, arise and go to Damascus, and there it'll be told you what you're to do. And verse 11, he said, I rose, and I couldn't see anything but that light. That's all I could see. I couldn't see all the things round about me. I saw that light, though. I heard that voice. And that's still, there's still the glory of Christ revealed to a true believer And when he sees that light and hears that voice and comes to know that person, everything else takes second place. Just it really does. It just takes second place. That light is all-consuming. Just all-consuming. That's the difference in preaching the doctrine of grace and preaching the Christ of grace. You got to see him. Hear him. That's right. I came to Damascus, and there in verse 12, and one Ananias, a devout person according to the law, having a good report of the Jews which dwelt there, he came to me. He came to me. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? He came to me, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. He came to me, and you know what he said? He said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. You didn't choose God. This thing is not a work of your doings. It's all God's doings. You're here by his grace. You're chosen by his grace. You're elected by his grace. That's just so. That's where he started. Brother Man, you start that way with sinners, that's the only way to start with a sinner. That's the only way. We didn't choose God, he chose us. And the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will. You know, Saul knew the will of command. He could recite the scriptures, he could recite the law better than you or I can. He knew the law. He was steeped in the law, raised in the law, educated in the law, a teacher of the law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. I know it all, the law. He knew the law, the will of command. He didn't know the will of redemption. Christ gave us that will. He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which you've given me, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that he that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I raise him up at the last day. Saul, the Lord our God hath chosen thee that you should know that will, the will of redemption, and that you should see the just one. Christ died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Christ died the just one that God may be just and justify folks like you and me. It's easy for a man to get religion. It's impossible for a man to be saved except by the power of God. The easiest thing in the world for me to do is get a sermon appealing to man's flesh and the death of his loved ones, meeting mother in glory and changing his life and teaching all these things about what people should do, and then sing an emotional song and a sentimental story and get them to come down the aisle and get saved. Ain't nothing to it. But for a man to be lifted from the dunghill, his heart changed, his will changed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, raised from darkness to light, from death to life, seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. That's a miracle only God can perform. That's what this is. It's you. God chose you that you might know his will and see Christ, the just one. And you should hear the voice of his mouth, his message, his gospel. And you'll be his witness. He didn't say, now you ought to. He didn't say that. He said, for thou shalt. God chose you that you might know his will, see Christ, hear his voice, and you shall be his witness unto all men. What you going to tell them? You're going to tell them what you've seen and what you've heard and what God did for you. That's what you're going to tell them. Now then, don't just sit there. Arise and confess Christ. Be baptized. Not in order to put your sins away, but confessing that he's the one who did it for the remission of sins. The revelation of Christ. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of glory, mercy, kindness, love, power, wisdom, death, obedience of grace. Thank God.